This morning, I'm going to be honest with you,
and that is that there are so many joyful thoughts in my mind as I step into the pulpit, and I don't exactly know which one to communicate. And that's a good place to be, okay? I'm thankful to God for that. And being here on Sunday morning with you all and experiencing the worship that we offer to God together, which to me is just the greatest in the world, is a source of that joy. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. What a great week it was last week. Last Sunday I was away and hated not to be here, but it was a joy to be with our brothers and sisters across town at Sand Hill and just to retie some of those ties that bind between our two sister congregations, and that was great. If you were with us Wednesday night for our fifth Sunday service and song, let me just say, that was encouraging. That was uplifting and upbuilding. And I left worship Wednesday night after that period of song with no voice. But boy, my spirit was soaring. And then Friday night, some of us went to the Azalea home and sang for the folks there. And that is always a great encouragement to me just to see those folks there be encouraged by that. And so the weekends, spending some time with family. And here we are again to kick off a new week, the first day of the week, together praising God, worshiping God, learning from His Word. This is the good life. This is the good life, and praise God for it. We're talking about words this morning. Words. The title of this sermon is Words Matter. And oh boy, don't words matter. In the Psalm 141, verse 3, the psalmist asks God, it's a prayer coming off the lips of the psalmist, and he says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." You know, from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, we find scattered throughout the books of the Bible various words like this, various words that matter like this, passages like this that teach us that our words matter, that the things that we say matter, and that we ought to give attention to the things that we say. We ought to make sure that the things that we say are right. We ought to make sure that indeed God has set a watch, that is, He has taught us to keep watch over the doors of our mouths. But just saying anything that comes to mind, well, that's not right. So much harm has been done by folks just saying what came to mind without having given that consideration. And today, I'm thankful that most people know they ought to use clean speech. I'm thankful for that. And especially most of us that love the Lord, that are members of His church, we know that God wants us to use clean speech, but we do know that there are some folks around us who don't. And we know that sometimes we have to listen to that, and that it's unpleasant. And we know that around us that there are sources of influence. Some things that come across our television screens, or that come across the radio sound waves, or things that we see or hear on the internet. There are these influences that teach us that words really don't matter, that you can say whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want to say it, and that really it's just an expression of freedom of speech. And after all, that's a cornerstone of being an American, freedom of speech. How dare anybody tell you that you can't say something you want to say? Well, listen, brothers and sisters and friends, this morning I'm going to tell you that God has given you the freedom to use your tongue however you want to use it. But there is, in fact, a right way and a wrong way to speak. This morning I want to talk about four words that matter when considering how we ought to speak as Christians. And the first of those words is the word commands. We read in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, these words: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, if you've been in the church very long, you know that commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, one of the ten great core teachings of the law of Moses. Well, that's a pinnacle of the faith. We don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. But what qualifies as taking the Lord's name in vain? We need to understand the answer to that question. Well, vain, first of all, vain means without good purpose or irreverently. And so this passage says that we should not use the name of the Lord without good purpose. We should not use the name of the Lord irreverently. When we speak the name of God, we need to do it with respect. That's part of what that passage means. Don't use God's name disrespectfully. Well, His name, now what does that mean? Well, in the original context of Exodus chapter 20, it means the covenant name of God specifically, that which we sometimes call Jehovah. We sing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is a translation that comes to us through a couple of other languages of the name of God that is probably more accurately Yahweh. Yahweh, the covenant name of God that He revealed to Moses in the burning bush. He told him to tell the people of Israel that Yahweh, Jehovah God, had sent him. And that's specifically what that means. But you know what? The new covenant name of Jesus is also the name of God. And we understand that there is only one God and there is only one Lord. Read the first six verses of Ephesians chapter 4 and you'll see. One Lord, one Spirit, one God. And so when I use just the word God, capital G, and in so doing I'm referencing the one true and living God, that's a description more than it is a name, but since there is only one God, then the name God, capital G, is also the name of God. And so if I use the word Yahweh or Jehovah or Jesus or God in a way that is without good purpose or irreverently, I have taken the Lord's name in vain. And this passage says God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know, God will forgive. We have to repent. We have to stop doing that which we know to be sinful. But now listen, to curse with God's name is beyond taking it in vain. Are you listening? You can hardly do anything worse. You can hardly say anything worse than to take the name of God and attach it to some filthy curse word and use that as a manner of communicating. What a horrible way to speak about the God and Father of us all who made us. Speaking of commands, we read in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now we understand what grace is. It's the favor of God. And so God wants us He doesn't merely command us not to say certain things, although He does command us not to say certain things, but He also commands us in general to speak in a certain way. He's supposed to speak with grace. Why? The nature of our relationship with God is grace. That God has looked upon us with favor because of the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Favor. And so God wants us to speak to other people with favor. He wants us to show them favor with the words that we choose to use in communication with our fellow man. But not just showing favor without any boundaries. He wants us to speak with grace seasoned with salt. And the season of salt refers to the truth of His Word. The salt of the covenant, as it were. So when I talk to my fellow man, I'm going to speak in a way that's consistent with Scripture. Someone's living in sin, I'm not going to say, you go on, keep on doing that. That's not what He means by speaking with grace, seasoned with salt. He wants me to speak kindly. He wants me to speak favorably, to show my love to them, but also to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. I want us to consider, and I ask you if you have your Bibles, to look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I'm going to look at verse 29, and then we're just going to skip right over to chapter 5 and verse 4. And we will come back to this passage in a moment. But first of all, listen, Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And this is consistent with the command there in Colossians 4, 6. He gives us both a don't and a do in this particular passage. Don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Do speak that which will build up the person that is listening to you and impart grace. That is God's grace to that person. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 4. Listen. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Isn't it interesting that in this passage, the Lord contrasts two things? He contrasts filthy talk, crude joking, coarse foolish jesting. He contrasts these things with giving of thanks. And so the idea is that if it is my will, if it is my heart's desire to communicate filthiness, that in one way this demonstrates a lack of thankfulness to my God, a lack of reverence toward Him, a lack of recognition that He's good, and therefore I ought to imitate Him to be good as well. So we learn from this first word that matters, this word commands, that God does not allow us to take His name in vain. He won't hold us guiltless. We understand the Scripture teaches we should always speak with favor and as Scripture directs. We should never say anyone that may corrupt someone else's mind. That we should never, ever, ever be involved with dirty jokes. And that we should not let one dirty word come out of our mouths. You see, words matter. Words matter. Because God cares about words. And He has communicated this care by loving us enough to give us the commandments and enable us to speak right. So listen, I want to give you the first admonition this morning. Are you listening? Brothers and sisters, try not to say anything at all unless it is going to make somebody a better person and this world a better place. And if you find yourself being tempted to say something that's not going to bless somebody to be a better person or isn't going to make this world a better place, don't say it. And if you adopt that attitude, which is really, well, really it's a state of being in the heart. It's a state of mind. If you adopt that attitude and let that determine what you say, you'll never be in violation of the commands of God about what should and shouldn't be said. The second word that matters this morning is the word influence. I want us to consider the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Some of you may have memorized that. Some of our young people may have been taught to memorize that. But 1 Timothy 4:12, where the Apostle Paul, speaking to a young Christian preacher, says, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Listen now. "But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." In purity. So this is a young man. And this is a young man who is, well, he's like any other red-blooded young man. He's a young man that loves Jesus. A young man that wants to preach the gospel. But a young man that is subject to all the temptations that human beings are subject to. And sometimes those can be particularly hard in youth. Because we haven't yet gotten to that state of maturity. And so it can be very difficult to willingly be different. That is to be contrasted with the way of life of those around us. But Paul says something to Timothy. He says, no, you, on the other hand, you need to be the one wielding the influence on those around you. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. You be the example. You be the influence. And he specifically says, the first of the things that Timothy was to be an example in is speech. Speech. That's the first in the list. So the way that we speak has an important factor in the influence that we have on other people. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to another young man, Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, note verse 8, and sound speech that cannot be condemned." And on the passage goes. Now listen, brothers and sisters, all Christians live in glass houses. You know, I was told when I was training to enter into full-time ministry, I was told by many of my professors and family members and advisors who were giving me good counsel. And it was good counsel that, you know, you're going to live in a glass house. And if you're not familiar with that term, it means that people are watching you. It means people are watching you. And if you're a preacher of the gospel, certainly people are watching you. And particularly in our time today, when accusations of hypocrisy flow so easily off the lips of our opponents in the world today, people are watching me. They want to see if I'm the real thing. If I really love the Word of God, I'm really teaching it in integrity, if I'm really practicing what I preach. But listen now, it's not just preachers and it's not just our elders and deacons and those who take a public part in worship or teach Bible class. Every person who openly lives life as a Christian lives in a glass house. And your neighbors, your friends and family members, your co-workers and folks in the community around you that know you're a Christian are watching you because they want to see if you're the real thing. They want to know. And one of the ways that they're going to be able to tell is by the way you speak, by the way you talk. Listen now, people are lost outside the Lord's church. And that they need for Christians to have a love for them, a concern for their souls, enough to live in such a way that will help them to see the light. Brothers and sisters, that's our responsibility. And in this world, with all of these lost people around us, there are so many voices that are vying and calling for the hearts of our fellow man. And it can be a confusing place. Most of our neighbors are decent folk. They want to live right. But it is hard for a lot of them to know the right way to go. But you know what? When speaking of real, genuine spirituality, they know the real thing when they see it. They do. If they hear you around the water cooler with a filthy mouth, telling dirty jokes, you think when you turn around and say, you know what, I got a Lord, I got a Savior in Jesus that I want to tell you about, they're going to give you a lot of credit. And you know the answer to that is no. Now listen, friends, there is nothing more important in this world than reaching people for Christ. And therefore, influence is a word that matters. And I need to speak in a way that is consistent with the purity and the love and the will and the heart of my God, because I cannot risk having my influence on my fellow man to bring them to Christ to be compromised by little slips of the tongue around the water cooler, around the house, or wherever I may be. A third word this morning that matters when we're thinking about the way we speak is judgment. Now I want you to listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. The Lord says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, listen now. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now there are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And he says the way that we speak is something that should concern us, because it's going to be brought into the subject matter on judgment day. That before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us will give an account, not just of the way that we've lived, not just maybe of clean or dirty thoughts, and you know, not just about the blatant sins that we've done that have really hurt other people. But this passage says that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give an account for the words that we have said. Words themselves matter. We read in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil, listen, and perverted speech I hate, says the Lord. God hates perverted speech. If God hates it, brothers and sisters, we need to hate it too. We need to keep as far away from it as we can get. Now listen, I want us to go back to the book of Ephesians 5. Just a moment ago we read verse 4. Now I want us to read both verses 4 and 5. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Now listen to verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, right after he has talked about impure speech, he's talked about foolish talk, crude joking out of place, he says, unless let there be thanksgiving instead, he says, for you can be sure of this. And the thought process that the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, immediately proceeds into is one of judgment. So, are our words just a small thing? And the things we say, well, is that just a matter of freedom of speech, of self-expression? Well, it is a matter of self-expression. Jesus said in John or in Matthew 12, you are expressing the quality and character of your heart when you speak. Let the tree be good and its fruit good. Well, let the tree be bad and its fruit bad. Brothers and sisters, if you're the good tree, if you're the tree planted by the Lord, if you're the tree that does not fear to enter into the judgment of God, then let the fruit be good. Clean up your speech. Let it be pure and holy and consistent with the Word of God, because God will bring your words into judgment. And the last portion of the passage, speaking about idle words. Listen, this is not God just being, picky.
Well, hey, on judgment day, he calls you forth and says, you know what? You weren't thinking, and you had this slip of the tongue over here, and how dare you?
That's not what that passage is about. It's about the heart. The things you say when you let your guard down. Are you listening? The things you say when you let your guard down are the things that you really deeply think. Now, we can all play holy when we've got our guard up, right? When I know that people are watching me, when I know that people are listening, when I'm in the company of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I know the expectations are there that we're going to live and act in a biblical way, well, it's not so hard. I just keep the reins on my heart, and I make sure that I only let out the things that I want to be seen. Oh, but you get out of the context of being with your brothers and sisters in Christ and get with those guys at work, and wow, you just want to be one of the guys. That's how the temptation goes, right? And then suddenly you let the reins loose on your heart and you let out some things that shouldn't be there but really are. Now that's what the Lord is talking about when He says all of these secret thoughts we brought into judgment before His throne. What the Lord wants us to do is not merely say, oh, I get it, using bad language is wrong. Therefore, in spite of the fact that I want to curse and spit and utter all kinds of foul and crude things, in spite of the fact that I want to do that, I'm just going to keep the reins on myself and I'm not going to do it. And won't I be so great and righteous? Listen, what God wants is a deeper transformation than that. He doesn't want us to live through life always just beating our heads against the wall because we can't do the things that He wants to do, that we want to do. He wants us to change, to be born again, to become new creatures, to be people that genuinely love God and want to be like Him. And when your heart has been transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you won't have to be guarded about what you say anymore. Because all that you will say, all of your words will be consistent with that new heart, that new mind that is in love with the Lord and desires only to speak with grace, seasoned with salt, as the Lord our God speaks. And so words matter. The final of our four words that matter this morning is the word heart. It's what we've been speaking about so far. And so we read in Mark chapter 7, a passage that is parallel to the one there in Matthew chapter 5. Listen to verses 20 through 23 of what the Lord has to say. And He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the person. The end of the passage that Brother Les read for us this morning, James chapter 3, verse 10, says, for from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Oh, well, we've got to be consistent. Now, if I'm a child of God, you know, my whole body belongs to the Lord. My mind belongs to the Lord. My heart belongs to the Lord. And therefore, my mouth has got to belong to the Lord. I need to be consumed and immersed in the will of God and in my desire to please Him and do what's right. So I've got to make my heart right. When that's right, everything else will be right. Everything I say will be right. So we understand this morning, using bad language is no small thing. Listen, I remember when I was growing up, starting to cuss and tell dirty jokes was the first corruption that many kids embraced. And oh, when I was in elementary school, the tough kids, the cool kids, were the ones that would say the cuss words on the playground. We might look at that and think, oh, well, you know, that's not such a big thing. Let me tell you, that was evidence of Satan's influence in their lives. And it was the first work that he accomplished in those young people, in leading them away from the purity and innocence of their childhood. And I can tell you that most of those kids that were caught up in the coolness of using bad language and telling dirty jokes were the ones that when smoking and drinking and drugging came around, they were the ones also that were ready to fall prey to that. Your words say a lot about what's going on the inside. If you can tame your tongue, you can resist every other temptation that comes your way. Isn't that what James says in that greater context? Thanks be to God, even though none of us this morning have perfectly tamed our tongues or our hearts or our bodies, we have the grace of God. We've got the grace of God as Christians. And we're thankful for the hope that we have of forgiveness because of that. But that forgiveness is not content to leave us where we are. That grace of God is not content to say, you know what, I'm just going to take care of that, so you just keep on living in the filthiness of the world. No, the grace of God takes us by the hand and says, come on, I'm going to pull you out of the mire. The grace of God says, I made you in my likeness. I want you to live accordingly, to be holy, to be pure, to let your words reflect that. Listen. God made us in His likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And one of the great evils of sin is that by sinning we fall from that likeness, from the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. God has made us too good for foolish and filthy and irreverent language. We know that God wants us to use good speech. So the question is how? How? Well, listen, there's a simple set of steps that we can take the process of changing behavior and determining that our behavior is going to be a certain way in the future. And we can apply this to anything. When we're talking about clean speech, or if we're talking about pure hearts and minds, we're talking about quitting some kind of bad habit in our life, whatever the case may be, this simple set of steps is going to apply to all of them. And the first is that we should resolve. That is, make a resolution. You know, oftentimes we hear the word resolution and we think that has to do with December 31st. And January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, because by the 4th, it's gone. Right? But resolution, it just means a fierce determination. I am resolved that this will be this way, that this will change. You know, if you've got a habit of using filthy language, of loving dirty jokes, using corrupting speech, or God forbid, taking His name in vain, you've got to make a resolution. God will not leave that unpunished if you don't repent. You've got to make a resolution this morning that that's going to change. You've got to be firmly convinced by the instructions of the Word of God, by the commands in Scripture, by the importance of a good influence, by the fear of Judgment Day. You've got to be thoroughly convinced that you need to change and be resolved that you're going to do that. And if you are so resolved, then you've got to think about your associations. Stop associating with bad influences. Don't run with people who consistently use filthy language. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. It's been true since the dawn of time and it's still true today. Not only should you just not associate with bad influences, but start associating with people who use clean speech and expect you to as well. That's one of the things the church is for. It's so that we can surround ourselves with people that love the Lord and love His truth and want to live right. And want each other to live right. And we're going to wield our loving influence on each other to help us all get to heaven. And praise God for the blessing of the associations we have in the Lord's church. Use them. Don't neglect them. Stop watching movies and shows and listening to music with filthy language. Now, do I need to repeat that? Stop watching movies and shows and listening to music with filthy language. Words matter. And you cannot embrace that filth without its finding its way into your heart. And when your heart has been corrupted by it, those things will come out of your mouth too. That's how it happens. Finally, read your Bible to learn the right way to think and to speak. And pray to God for a clean heart. Remember the psalmist, 141 verse 3. set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I want that psalm to ever be on my mind. I want to say it because it reminds me that words matter. Brothers and sisters, let's speak in a way that is consistent with that teaching. This morning, you child of God, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus and turn from sin, made confession of your faith and submitted to burial in water, baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, it's a simple plan of salvation. If you've done it, you're a child of God. If not, well, you need to do that today. This morning, if you are a Christian, a baptized believer who's been walking in sin, or if you're facing weakness for which you need the help that can be yours through the prayers of the church, this invitation is yours. I pray that you'll come as together we stand and sing.